Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Would you please stand with me in honor of God's Word today? As Pastor Michael mentioned, John 6, verse 15 is what I'm going to be reading from. And you know, sometimes we take for granted when we listen to God's Word or we hold God's Word, because so many in the world, they don't have it. And we have it so easily, and sometimes we take it for granted. John 6, verse 15. So Jesus, perceiving they were intended to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, and afterward, getting into a boat, they started to cross the sea to Capernaum. It already become dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea began to be stirred up because a strong wind was blowing. Then when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea, drawing near to the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." So when they were willing to receive him to the boat, and immediately the boat was in the land, which the, where they were going. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day that you've given to us. And Lord, I pray that everything I'm about to say will be ordered and directed by you. And Lord, may every village in the Himalaya Mountains have a church one day. And may untold numbers of people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ there. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given to us. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you a praise for it. And everybody said, amen and amen. You may be seated. For just a little while this morning, I want to teach on how to stand when you don't understand. I want to introduce you, as I get started, to a friend. Now, maybe you never recognized him as a friend, but he's one of the best friends we have. Now, a real friend will tell you some things that you don't necessarily want to hear. A real friend will have your best interest in mind. A real friend will help you to be godly, help you to be wise, give you good advice when things come along your way. A real friend will help you to grow, help you to mature, help you to become more like Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never recognized this individual as a friend, but he's really one of the best friends that we have when we think about it. His name is Trouble. Now, maybe you never recognized Trouble as a friend, but is it not true that Trouble will tell us things about ourselves that nobody else would ever tell us? Is it not true that when trouble comes, we'll pray more than we normally do? That we'll study our Bibles more than we normally do? That trouble will make us wise, make us more prudent, help us to reassess what really matters in life? Now, we may not recognize trouble as a friend, but trouble is one of the best friends that we have. Now, every one of us are at one of three places on life's journey. Some of us are in trouble right now. There's a crisis. Some of us just got out of trouble, and we're thanking God for it. Some of us are headed to trouble, and we just don't know it yet. Now, I'm not being negative at all, about it all, because here's the disciples. Jesus just got finished taking care of 25,000. He now commands them to get in a boat and go to the other side. And in the midst of it, they're going to get in a serious, serious storm that could take their life. And in the midst of it, I believe in this story, there's some principles that you and I can learn. And I've been pondering this for a long time. And so I want to encourage you to write these principles down. And then when you get home, put it on a 4x6 card and put it on your refrigerator door, because we go there a lot. And learn it. Because we never know what a day holds. Is that not true? We never know what a day holds. We think it's going to be good, and it may be challenging. And so we want to learn it so that when trouble does knock on our heart's door, that we have a sense of how we stand when we don't understand. First of all, we are governed by God's providence. We like to use that word providence. That word providence means to see ahead of, to see ahead of time. God sees ahead of time. Nothing ever catches the Lord by surprise. There are no problems in heaven. only plans for our lives. The Holy Trinity never meets in an emergency session saying, oh no, we didn't think about that. That caught us by surprise. Now what are we going to do? There are no surprises in the heart of God. Only plans for our lives. We are governed by God's providence. God orders our steps and he orders our stops. I pray constantly, God, let your favor rest upon my life. If you will see me walking along, maybe through a parking lot or through an airport, I'm walking and I'm whispering prayers along the way. I'm constantly just walking and whispering prayers along the way. When I was coming into the hotel, for example, last evening, I'm whispering a prayer as I'm going through the doors. I'm saying, I don't know who's going to be on the side of the counter, but I pray, God, that your favor will rest upon my life as I get ready to get checked into the hotel room. You say, well, what's the big deal? Well, I want to stay in a good room. I don't want to stay in the one next to the elevator by the ice maker. That's not what I want. Now, if you like the ice maker and you like the elevator at 2 o'clock in the morning, have a ball. But I don't enjoy that. You say, what's the big deal? Well, I spent over 13 years of my life in motel rooms, so it's a big deal to me. I don't want 13 years of ice makers. I don't want 13 years of elevators. I want a quiet space. It doesn't have to be the Taj Mahal, but I want to be able to go to bed. I want a good night's rest. When I get up, I can serve the Lord to the best of my ability. So I walked in with asking God for favor. You know, that precious lady gave me an incredible room way down the hallway on the second floor, a nice quiet spot, because I believe God wants to favor our lives. I do. Years ago, my wife and I got on a plane. This goes back to about 1988, and we flew to Hawaii for ministry. I know you can't believe that. You think I went on vacation. You're thinking, James, you just want to spiritualize it. But you weren't going there for ministry. You're going to the beach. No, I was going to ministry. And we were preaching for several days up in the mountains of the Himalaya, or the Hawaiian mountains in Oahu, in a little town called Wahiwa. And we were there, and then we were flying from there to Malaysia for a missions convention for Prince Gunaratnam in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. But on Sunday morning, I was in Wahiwa in this church there, and a lady walked up to me. And she said, I'm really happy to be alive today. I said, I'm happy to be alive too. She said, I'm really happy to be alive today. I said, I'm really happy to be alive today. I wasn't sure how long this was going to go. She said, I was just in Frankfurt, Germany. I said, oh, you were? She said, yes, I was in Frankfurt, Germany, and I was in line to catch a flight to come home because it's the Christmas holidays. And I was really looking forward to getting home for the Christmas holidays. And I was in line to get on this flight, and they took me and my son out of line. And I got so aggravated, and I got so frustrated because they took me out of line. And after they bumped me out of line, 20 minutes later, we heard later that Pan Am Flight 103 went down over Lockerbie, Scotland, because a terrorist attack and blew up the entire plane. And we were thinking, well, we could have been on that plane. She said, I'm really thankful to be alive today. I'm here to tell you, sometimes God is keeping you and protecting you when you don't even realize when he's keeping and protecting you. You get frustrated in the traffic and God's trying to stop you from an accident. You're getting aggravated because the plane's running late and God's taking care of your life. I'm here to tell you, God orders our steps and our stops, and if you believe it, say amen. Oh, my friend, the safest place to be is in the will of God. If the will of God is to be in a boat in the middle of the night in a storm-tossed sea, that is the safest place to be. If the safest place to be in the will of God is to be on the seashore, then you be on the seashore. But don't be out of the will of God. Because as soon as you get out of the will of God, you've decided to live dangerously. We are governed by God's providence. The Lord knew there was going to be a storm before they got to the other side. They didn't know it, but the Lord knew it. And the Lord knew that he had a plan to get them through it to the other side. And God has plans that you and I have never dreamed of in our life. Secondly, we are growing by God's plan. Not my plan, not your plan, but his plan. God wants us to grow. I'm praying that the Lord will help me to grow as a Christian more in the years ahead than I've ever grown in my life. I'm praying that way. If I grow as a Christian 11% a year, that means I double my Christian capacity every 7 years. I want to grow as a Christian. I want to pray bigger prayers. I want to believe for bigger things. I want to see things I've never seen and hear things I've never heard. I want to spend time with great people. I'm so thrilled that pastor is going to be teaching this summer about the greats. I want to spend time with great people who pray big prayers, who live a great life. I want to grow like I've never grown. I believe this church is filled with growing Christians. We look back on our life, we say, I can't believe we used to live this way. I used to think this way. Thank God we don't live that way and think that way anymore. God has helped us to grow. And there's some things we won't learn until we're in the midst of a storm. There are things we won't learn until we're in something that's bigger than ourselves. God wants us to grow. God wants us to be happy. God wants us to be healthy. But even more than that, God wants us to be holy. No matter how many times God heals us, one day we're still going to graduate for eternity. You do understand that, right? No matter how many times the Lord heals us, there's going to come a day the roll is called up yonder and we're going to go be with the Lord. We all have a date with that. We don't like to talk about it, but it's coming sooner or later. But in this process of time, we want to grow. And we're living in unparalleled times. God's shaking the earth, and God's going to continue to shake the earth. This is an opportunity for us to grow. When problems come, we can either get smaller or we can get larger. We can always measure by the size of a man or woman by how much it takes him or her to get upset. Some people get upset over small things because they're small people. Some people don't get upset over small things because they've matured. You know, we're all young once, but we can be immature the rest of our lives if we want to be. Some people refuse to grow up. You ever known somebody like that? They're an adult, but they act like a child. I'm here to tell you, God wants us to grow and go and not dry and die. We are growing by God's plan. We have to put ourselves in a position to grow so that we can become more like Jesus Christ. We're growing by God's plan. Third, we are graced by God's prayers. Now, the Bible says that the Lord went to the mountain alone to pray. You find the prayer part in Mark's account of the same story. John says he went to the mountain alone. Mark says he went to the mountain alone to pray. Mark also says he could see the disciples out there in the storm-tossed sea. And John says it's already gotten dark. So it's dark. It's really dark. And there's clouds above, so you can't see the stars. There is pelting rain, howling wind, little waves or big waves attacking that boat. And it's really dark, and the disciples are out there. And the Lord is up in the mountain alone praying. Now, the Lord could see the disciples, but the disciples couldn't see the Lord. But even though the disciples couldn't see the Lord could see the disciples, and the Lord was praying for his disciples. Let me ask you a question. How many of the prayers that Jesus prayed do you believe got to the Father? All of them. Wouldn't you like to hang around with somebody whose prayers always get to God? I mean, think about it for a second. Wouldn't you like to have somebody to pray for you whose prayers always get to God? If that's you, can I see your hand? If that's you, I mean, that's me. Now, last year, my grandmother, who was 103 years old, passed away, 103. She lived in a different world. Pastor Michael knew her. And when she was 101, she was in the hospital. And so one day, the doctor went up to find her and went in her room. She wasn't there. So he went to the head nurse, said, do you know where Mrs. Davis is? She said, yes. Well, where? Well, she's on this floor somewhere. She's going to all the rooms on this floor praying for everybody on this whole floor. She just lived in a different world. She was here, but she wasn't here. And when I was growing up, if I had a problem, I'd just call Grandma. As I got older, she lived not too far from me, down the street. And I needed prayer, I'd just go see Grandma. Because in about 35 seconds, you felt like you were in the Holy of Holies. You ever been around somebody like that? And so I just wanted my prayers to piggyback on her prayers. I wanted to hitchhike on her prayers. Because I felt like her prayers got to God. Sometimes I felt like some of mine got there, but I knew hers always got to God, so I wanted to hitchhike on her prayers. Now, have you ever done that? Come on, be honest. Sure. Because I believe my grandmother had this relationship with the Lord. And now here's the Lord. He's praying for his disciples. And his prayers always get to God. Did you know you were prayed over today? The King of Glory has prayed for you today. Now, how many of his prayers get to God? All of them. He has prayed for you today. When I'm traveling, I get text messages from friends. And some of them will say something like this. James, I don't know where in the world you are today, but I'm praying for you. Sometimes I get an email. I'm praying for you. There are churches that pray for us every day. Michael introduced me to a dear friend who lives over in Cleveland, Tennessee. And I went to see him a few weeks ago. And when I was there, he said, I want to show you my prayer list. And there's some people I pray for every day. And I saw my name right there on that list. He prays for me every day. To think that he thinks I'm valuable enough to pray for me every day, to get a text message from somebody who says, I'm praying for you today, to know that I'm on that person's prayer list, to think that I'm that valuable, because sometimes I don't think I'm that valuable. I'm just getting up doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but somebody is praying. But so it's far more important for us to be on the list of the King of Glory. Jesus Christ is praying for you. He's praying for me. I don't know how he does that, but he's God, and God can do anything. And God is not limited to what we are limited to. And I'm here to remind us today that we are graced by God's prayers. He is praying for you. You may be in a small little boat in a storm. It's bigger than you, but I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ is praying for you. You may be facing a crisis in your family, but the Lord is praying for you. We are graced by the prayers of the one who prays, and all of his prayers get to God himself. Wow. We are graced by his prayers. Wow, God knows your zip code, and he knows your address, and he knows how far you got to go before you get to the other side. Number four, we're gladdened by his presence. Now, Jesus had just finished performing a miracle. 5,000 men plus all the women and children, some 20, 25,000 people there. They didn't think they had enough food, but Jesus had plenty of food, provided for all of them. But after the feeding of the multitude, there were 12 baskets left over, according to Mark. And 12 baskets because there are 12 disciples. So each disciple got a basket. And so then the Lord said, now get in the boat and go to the other side. I believe those baskets of food ended up in that boat that night, going with them to the other side. I don't believe those disciples left those baskets on the shoreline. They just finished feeding the 25,000. Now they each have a basket. They get in the boat. They put the baskets down by the feet. And now they're going across. And a storm hits them. Now, sometimes when I get in the middle of a crisis, I forget about the last crisis he got me out of. Now, I realize I'm the only one in this room that's like that. But sometimes I forget that. I forget how he provided for me financially the last time. How God took care of that physical need the last time. How God put the right person in my path at the right time the last time. How God took care of this plane ride the last time. Sometimes I forget those things. And some of us are just like that too. We forget how he provided. And here the disciples are in this boat. Things are not going well. They're scared to death. They feel like the boat's going to become a submarine. This is the last trip. And they're frightened, they're scared, they're worried. And down at their feet are testimonies of how the Lord took care of them just hours ago. And we need to remind ourselves of how good God is. Not just sing about it like we did today. I'm here to tell you we need to remind ourselves. We need to constantly remind ourselves that God, listen, that God has a great big plan for every one of us in this room. And that God wants us to be successful in this life. He does. He wants to order our steps and our stops. He wants to prosper our life. He wants to put great people into our path. He wants us to grow and mature. He wants to perform the miraculous in our life. We need to be gladdened by the presence of the Lord. We need to be gladdened by his presence. We need to remind ourselves of how he took care of us the last time. So when God starts answering prayers, start writing them down. And the next time the crisis comes, just pull out the list and remind yourself, Lord, you healed me that other time, or you touched my wife that other time. You provided for this need or that need. You did this, you did that. And Lord, based upon all that you've been doing, I believe that you see me in this little boat, in this darkness, in the middle of this storm, and that you are going to take care of me and give me victory in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Oh, we're gladdened by his presence. Now, I realize I'm the only one here today that sometimes is not happy. I realize everybody else is happy all the time. And sometimes I get up and I don't feel that happy. I remember years ago, I've never told Pastor Michael this story. Years ago when I was, we lived in Montgomery, Alabama, and I was 14 years old when my dad moved our family from Mobile, from Montgomery, Alabama, to Mobile, Alabama. And in Montgomery, we lived in the city, and in Mobile, we were going to live out in the country in a little tiny town called Wilmer, W-I-L-M-E-R, had about 3,500 people in it. And so we moved from living in a city next to a country club out here in the countryside where the nurseries are, plant nurseries are. Totally 100% culture shock. Okay, and so I was in the front yard of our home, and it was my turn to cut grass. And back in those days, in BC days, we had push mowers. Now, some young people don't even know what that is. And this push mower didn't have the fancy wheels on it that pulls it along. It's just one of those old push mowers. And we had an acre of land. It was my turn to cut the grass. And I was up out front getting ready to start. My dad walks around the front. He says, Jimmy, how you doing? I said, can I tell you how I'm doing? He said, yes. I'm not doing good. He said, what's wrong? I said, everything. He said, everything? Absolutely. He said, what does everything mean? He said, Dad, do you really want to hear this? He said, well, yeah. I said, there's nothing I like about living here. There's not one thing. I don't like this grass. I said, the kind of grass we had in Montgomery was Bermuda grass. This is, I don't know what this kind of grass. This is centipede grass. I don't like this grass. I said, I don't like the bushes around this house. I think they're ugly. I don't like the dirt road that we live on. And I said, Dad, when it doesn't rain for days and the cars go by, the dust flies everywhere. I said, Dad, I don't like it. I said, Dad, I don't like the school bus that parks right up here at the stop sign. And we get on that bus at 7:30 Monday through Friday. I can't stand that bus ride to the school. This is what I said to my dad. I said, Dad, I don't like the rednecks who live down the street. I said, Dad, there's not one thing I like about this place. My dad looked at his son, and he looked at me, and he said, son, I think you need to get happy. He walked away. That's all he said. And I looked at that mower, looked at that grass. I thought to myself, you know what? It's time right now. It's time. Somehow you got to get happy. You can either push this mower, live here miserable, or you can start today getting happy. Can I tell you what? Some of my greatest days in my life were there. Some of the greatest friends I have to this day, I still connect with who live there. I had to make a decision. How am I going to live my life? Am I going to live my life glad or sad? Live my life happy or miserable? And you know what? It's time for some of us to make that same decision. I'm here to tell you, God is working on your behalf. And even though you may not think he is doing it. And we need to realize we need to be gladdened by the presence of Almighty God. That's right. We just need to get happy. I'm here to tell you, we serve a resurrected Savior. And when we come to church, we don't come to mourn a corpse. We come to worship a resurrected King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Savior of all of humanity. Praise the Lord. Oh, we are gladdened by his presence. Number five, we are guarded by his person. Now I want you to see this. Jesus comes walking across the water. And he gets close to the boat. When he gets close to the boat, he says, fear not. He says, fear not. That's interesting to me because he knows they're afraid, but he says, fear not. Do you ever get afraid? You ever worry a little bit? Sure. Bible says for us not to do that, right? Bible says worry not, but pray about everything. Do any of us get that right 100% of the time? I don't. There are times I worry about stuff. I think, oh, I shouldn't be doing that. Or I get afraid about this or that. I shouldn't be afraid about that. But sometimes we have to walk through our fears. We have to walk through our concerns and get on to the other side. Jesus gets close to that boat and he says, fear not. And then he says this. He says, I am. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when he said the word I am, those disciples perked up because this was the holiest expression in all of Holy Writ. When God was speaking to Moses in Exodus 3 from the burning bush, he says, I am who I am. In other words, I will be what you need me to be, Moses, when you get down to Egypt. I am the I am. You need somebody to deliver the people. I am that deliverer for you, Moses. And Jesus says, I am. When he said that, I am, he was saying to those disciples, I am the Son of God. I am the creator of all things, heaven and earth. I am the sovereign God. I am standing right here. They understand right now. They're coming in contact with Almighty God. He is the one who's standing on the sea, and he's speaking into their life. Now, why did Jesus Christ walk on water? Did he walk on water for theatrics? Did he walk on water to say, look, guys, I can do something you can do. And if you mature like me, one day you can do that too. Every miracle had a message. Every sermon had a sign attached to it. He was teaching. He was the master teacher. And he's getting ready to teach those disciples something. They're not going to learn on the mountainside. They're not going to learn at the feeding of the 25,000. They're not going to learn standing on the seashore. They're going to learn this out in a dark, ridden storm. And Jesus is standing there, and he's teaching them something. There's a miracle that's happening, and here's what he's trying to teach. He's saying, whatever is over your head is under my feet. Whatever is over your head is under my feet. That crisis may be over you, but it's under him. That sickness may be over you, but it's under him. That financial mountain may be over you, but it's under him. That person who did that terrible thing to you may be crushing your spirit, but my friend Jesus still walks on the water, and he says, whatever is over you is under my feet, and God is going to give you the victory to the other side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And whatever is under him, my friend, he says, you're going to make it to the other side. We are guarded by his person. We are immortal until God's finished with us. We are immortal until God's finished with us. That's why it's so important that we live our life in the will of God. Sixth and last, we are guided by God's purpose. Now, don't miss this. Jesus says to the disciples, get in the boat and go to the other side. What's the purpose? To go from one side to the other side. Simple. He says, get in the boat and go to the other side. The storm comes. So Jesus Christ comes walking across the water, gets close to the boat, says, fear not. Then he says, I am. Then now notice what it says. He gets in the boat, and immediately they're to the other side. Now, don't miss this now. The storm's raging. The wind is blowing. Jesus comes walking across the water. He gets close to the boat. He says, fear not. He says, I am. He gets in the boat, and immediately they're to the other side. Now, you go back and reread the story. John had said they were only halfway across. They go about 3 or 4 miles. They're just halfway. They're in the middle of the sea on their way to Capernaum. So they're not all the way to the end. Jesus comes walking across the water. He gets close to the boat. He says, fear not. Shut out. Everything's fine. Don't worry about it. He says, I am. Gets in the boat. And immediately, they're to the other side. In fact, when he gets in the boat, there's no more rowing. They're already there. When he gets in the boat, there's no more storm-tossed sea. Mark says the sea laid down and became calm. There was no more wind. There was no more rain. When Jesus got in the boat, not only was there no more storm, listen, there was no more struggle. They didn't have to struggle. They were automatically on the other side. What happened? When Jesus Christ got in that little tiny boat, time, distance, and gravity simultaneously collapsed. And instantly, they were standing on the other side. One day, Jesus is coming back soon. I love for him to come today. I find myself getting up in the mornings praying, Lord, this could be your day that you could come back. And when he comes back the next time, he's going to step off the mountain, but he's not going to step off an earthly mountain. He's going to step off the throne of God, and he's going to come down the starry spangled skies of glory. And when he comes down the starry spangled skies of glory, he's going to step out of eternity into time. And when he steps out of eternity into time, he's going to be making walking on water look like child's play. For on this day, he's going to be walking on the clouds. And when he steps out of eternity into time and he starts walking along the clouds, instantaneously, time, distance, and gravity will collapse, and all of God's people who are in God's boat instantaneously will stand on the other side, enjoying the portals of God's glory forever and forever and forever. Oh, what's God's purpose? To get us from one side to the other side. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing that could stop the child of God who's in the will of God from getting one side to the other side. Doesn't matter what the storm says. Doesn't matter what people say. Doesn't matter what governments do. Those who know the Lord and walking with him, they're going to the other side. Now, between this side and that side, sometimes it rains. Sometimes the storms come. Sometimes the doctor visits the house. But the Lord comes to deliver us and give us victory. He never promised us smooth sailing, but he promised us a safe landing. He said, it's going to turn out all right. There's some in this room today, you need a divine healing touch in your physical body. In a moment, we're going to pray for that. There are others who need victory in your mind. The battle is in the mind. And there are others who need divine healing in the house. Only God can do it. And the Lord wants us to give all of it to him. And he's not worried about it. He's not fretting over it. He knows how to take care of every one of us in this auditorium today. Would you please stand with me in this sacred gathering? So heads are bowed and our eyes are closed in this service today. I count it a privilege to teach and preach where Pastor Michael preaches and teaches so faithfully week after week after week. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed in this sacred gathering here today, as they just play very softly today, there are those in this room, you need a healing touch in your physical body. You need the Lord to step into your world and minister supernatural divine healing in your physical body. If that's your need today, can I see your hand, please, in this service? Our hands being lifted all across this sacred gathering here today. As our eyes are closed in this sacred gathering. There are many of us in this room who need deliverance in the mind. When a person gets saved, they get a new mind, the mind of Christ. And the battle is in the mind. And there are some in this room, you are having a serious battle in your mind. And you need deliverance in your mind. And the Lord has come that you might have that and have that abundantly in your life. You're here today, you say, James, that's me. I need God to do that in my life. If that's you, can I see your hand, please? Let's lift it up high in this auditorium. There's hands all across here. You may put them back down as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. There are some in this room, you are struggling with fear and worry. Fear and worry are engulfing your life. And it's causing you to be restless. It's causing you not to sleep good. It's really gotten a hold of you. Notice I'm not talking down to you. I'm talking with you. And you hear today, you say, James, I desire for the Lord to melt that fear and worry and anxiety out of my life. I desire for him to melt that out of my life. If that's you, can I see your hand, please, in this altar? Yeah, sure. There's one more thing I want to highlight, and then we're going to have an invitation. We're going to pray. There are some in this room that you don't need healing in your physical body, but you have a very close loved one who needs healing in their body. And, the Bible talks about there were those who came to the Lord on behalf of somebody else. And you're here today, you say, James, I don't need healing, my knowledge in my body, but I have a very close loved one who needs healing in his or her body, and I want to stand in their behalf. here today. If that's you, can I see your hand, please, in this sacred gathering? Sure, your hand's been lifted all across here. In a moment, they're going to lead us in a simple chorus, and this is what we're going to do. I'm standing here on this main floor right here today, and there are going to be others who are going to be here, other prayer warriors. And when they begin to lead us, if, no matter if you be in the back, left, or right of this beautiful auditorium, when they begin to lead us, I'm going to invite you to find the nearest aisle and come and find a place to stand right along here in the front. And we're going to anoint with oil, and we're going to agree that God will do that work. So as soon as they begin to pray, sing, I'm going to invite you instantly to get out of your seat and come as close as you can if you lift your hand for any of those needs, and we're going to pray that God will do his work. Would you come as they lead us? Come on, Brother Jeremy, if you would, and come as close as you can.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.